Tonight on Coast to Coast, we're going to talk soul to soul, true stories of communication from loved ones in heaven. That's right. Deborah Martin, Sherry Geffen joins us when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Deborah Martin is a research medium certified by the University of Arizona, currently a level 5 certified researcher. And she's the author of Believe Beyond Seeing, Me and My Angels, Direct Connect to God, and the latest, Soul to Soul. So let's say hi to Deborah first. Deborah, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, it's good to have you too. How's things? Everything good?
Everything's wonderful. You know, we had such great positive response the last time that we were on your show that some of the wonderful listeners that you have on your show, we have so many miraculous stories that have transpired since then.
A year and a half ago. I can't believe how fast time goes by, Deb.
It seems like yesterday, but you know what? I can say that you have great viewers, and we just loved being on your show. And you're a great interviewer, by the way.
Thank you. Now let's bring in Sherry. Sherry Geffen's journey to becoming a healer started after she began having visions and dreams that healing people around the world was her life calling. This led her to earn a level 3 reconnective healing practitioner certification. Now, that initial training, of course, she's developed her own techniques, and Deborah and Sherry have been collaborating for, I would say, 20 years now on their spiritual journey. Hello, Sherry. Welcome back.
Hi. It's great to be back, and thanks for having us tonight.
Oh, my pleasure. This is a subject that is dear to so many people. I mean, and I guess a lot of people question if there is a soul. Let's start with you, Deborah. Are you convinced now there is indeed a soul within us?
There's no doubt. Several ways in my book, Soul to Soul, is my last 10 years of mediumship really shows how spirit has proved to have their own voice. They're the ones that prove to science that it is evidential and it is real. And then when I had a shared near-death experience with Sherry, I actually crossed over and transcended to heaven where Sherry witnessed my spirit come back into my body. So I know that there is a difference. There is your physical body here, and then our soul does leave, you know, and transcends to this beautiful world that I call heaven.
And what we've been taught, Deborah, over the years about the soul and what its purpose is, do you think that's accurate?
Yes, I think that, you know, our soul, our body is here as a vessel. It's our car. It's our vehicle. I believe our soul is to learn as much as we can here on Earth, so that we can teach others what lies beyond us, and where do we go? What do we see? And I've been fortunate to be one to see the other side, to transcend, and now with the ability of having that. Seeing God, having a conversation with God, I'm now able to take people to those other dimensions where they too can have this experience while Sherry holds the energy in the room that allows them to have, you know, an out-of-body experience as well.
And Sherry, we're now getting proof. You know, when you talk to people as we have, and you have, the neurosurgeon Dr. Evan Alexander, who passed on, went into a different realm, and he's come back convinced that heaven exists. We're getting more and more people like that now, Sherry, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And actually, Dr. Evan Alexander has come to us for a healing session. And during his session, he actually, him and Deborah went to that same place that he was when he was in a coma, and he got to re-experience some of those same things. It was, you know, definitely very personal, very private. But yeah, and we are seeing that. And, you know, when during a healing session, you know, there is an energy shift that happens in the room. And, you know, we both feel it. You know, the minute we start connecting, we feel this energy, this frequency, and, you know, also these words that come through Deborah. You know, where are these words coming from? Because we don't know the people that are coming into healing sessions. So we know that, you know, something out there is taking place. There's this higher power, this energy that we're working through us, and we're seeing, you know, all these amazing transformations of people taking place and healing taking place.
Speaking of healings, did you heal a few of our listeners?
We did.
What happened? Tell us about that.
Yeah, do you want to start? I guess one of the ones that we kind of remember was a lady that came to us right after, and she had emailed us, and she didn't even know if she would make it to a healing. She had just written to us that she was sick and she's dying, and that if she didn't make it to the healing session, she'd know she was going to do a distant healing session. Well, afterwards, you know, we found out that she had malignant lymphoma. And so during the healing session, it was distant. She was in Utah. We were in Arizona. And, you know, right away we had her picture. We pray before every session. We place the healing into God's hands, and we ask him to work through us as his instruments. And so right away the energy starts connecting. We start connecting with this lady. And Deborah starts seeing these visions. Yeah, she was taken back to when this lady was 7 years old, to something that she had been holding on to. So during this session, you know, several things are taking place. There's healing taking place. Deborah's able to see visions. She's able to see spiritual surgeons coming to the room. So there's all different levels taking place. And Deborah, you might want to describe what you saw for this lady, how you were able to get to the root of what was causing this health issue in her body.
Well, what's interesting is that you know nothing about this person. You just have the picture of the person. So you're going on pure trust. And my faith is very strong in what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing. But the vision is so clear, is as if I'm actually there. So what happened was, is I could see her spirit standing, and I was shown a mirror in front of her. And all of a sudden I saw a little child at the age of 7. And I said, wow, that's her mirror image of her at the age of 7. And I was told that something happened to a puppy of hers at the age of 7. Very tragic. Something happened.
Huh.
And something about her mother dying at that age. And then also abuse. Abuse was really big at that age. So a lot happening at age 7 that was still deep within her that she had forgotten or thought that, you know, I didn't need to deal with that. You suppress it. So it was like...
But it's still there, isn't it?
It was still there, but you forget that, you know, it was there. And she even, you know, when she listened to the MP3, because when we're done with the session, we email it to her. And she listened to it. And she emailed us back. And she said, first of all, my pet, I was at the age of 7 when all of this happened. And we're just the instruments. So hearing the validations are like, we're in awe as well. Watching these miracles take place.
Sure.
So first, the pet was shot by her dad when it was giving birth to puppies because he was mad at her. So she had to witness that.
Oh, jeez.
She was also
cruel can people be?
Yeah.
You know?
No. It was devastating.
And then her mom was pregnant, and the doctors told her that she was going to die. And she told her daughter that at the age of 7. And then her dad was very abusive and used to whip her with a willow branch tree. And she loved him and trusted him so much, but he broke her heart.
He shattered her trust.
Yeah.
Shattered it. So all those things that I was told about her at age 7, I don't know this woman. I've never met her. She's not even in the center. She's, you know, in another state. And this, I see it right plain as day in front of me, and I say it, and I feel it, and we send it, and it goes to that. And at the same time, those are things that are saying things, you know, we're asking her to repeat words that God say, like, you know, we need you to release this and surrender this, and Sherry is using the energy to pull out those roots, to get rid of it so that we can place in God's light and love to heal. And she had forgotten about this, and she's like, oh my gosh, this resurfaced. And from this day on, she says that she never wants to hold on to anything. She prays every day. She lights her candle every day. And she says, if I'm holding on to anything, please make me aware of it and help me surrender it. It was beautiful. And you know what now? She is walking. She is healthy. And she is, what is she doing? Like
she's
hiking
healed
every day, like
yeah,
2-3 miles a day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Where she couldn't even walk before. She didn't even think that she was going to survive.
Yeah, she wasn't eating, and she had lost all this weight. And so we recently caught up with her, and it's so wonderful to talk. Now, her healing didn't happen overnight, so she had to walk through it. We you know, she had to light her candle every day. There's, you know, she had to go to those places. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you have to feel to heal. And so, but she was able to recognize, instead of just giving medicine to Band-Aid to cover everything up, she was able to go to the root, release it, and then, you know, self-heal. So, you know, it's as if we gave her the tools, and then she had to do the work. So it kind of all goes in hand in hand. And, you know, Deborah and I always say, you know, some healings are instant, and some of them, you know, everybody plays a role. Sometimes people have to walk through and do their part as well, because it all goes hand in hand. And also sometimes they might have to see a doctor too. So we all say, you know, that God works through doctors, God works through us. It all goes hand in hand.
In this case, did she see doctors? And if so, what did they say? Did they take credit for the healing?
She had been to doctors. She was kind of frustrated. And I think at that point, she had just kind of washed her hands of doctors. And so she came to us at the very end. And I think she, you know, she would email us here and there and say, I went to this doctor. It was so frustrating. He did nothing. And so it was kind of a self-healing. So I think that she did see a few here and there, but, you know, I think when she was able to get to the root, but she didn't have any chemotherapy or anything like that.
Do you have to be a believer in order for the healing to work? Not you, but I mean the individual.
No, you don't. In fact, we have the biggest skeptics that
really
come in. Mm-hmm. Because you know what? We're not here to try to make you believe, but it's having that direct connection, hearing words that only you would know, only things that would resonate with you, only things that would go deep within and go, how would they know that? And that's when that light bulb switches and they go, okay, something's going on here. Like, there's, how could they have known the things that they know? Where is this coming from?
Yeah.
And they also feel the frequency when Sherry taps into this frequency that she aligns us to. They're able to feel it. Now, if they're not if they're in person, they're going to feel it palpable. They could feel the energy around them. If they're distant, many times they will feel different energies shifting in their body, or they might just feel the presence and the love and they'll be crying on the other end. It's interesting because the distance ones are even more interesting because they'll take notes of what's happening during their healing session as we're doing it. And they'll come back saying, oh my gosh, I felt the same thing that you guys were saying on the MP3 at the same time.
Yeah. And George, back to your question about being skeptic. Many people, it's funny, we'll have people that come in and they'll be, you know, men especially, they'll be, you know, my wife heard you, you know, she drugged me in ago, and, you know, so we have that a lot, but you know, those are some of our greatest miracles. And, you know, we've had people that come in and they'll look at us kind of and rolling their eyes. I don't even know I'm here. You know, just go ahead. Do your thing.
Yeah, do what you do.
Do what you do. And then we've seen where people, you know, we had a gentleman that traveled from California, drove. He had had a botched surgery, had been in pain for so long. And he just, you know, he's like, I'm here. My wife made me come. And afterwards, he was crying. We saw him transformed in front of us. He walked in with his light turned off. He was in so much pain. He'd lost hope. He told us afterwards that he was actually suicidal. And the words that were spoken to him and the love that he felt in that room from us, the love from God, the love from the healing, he was transformed. We saw him in front of our eyes. It was like a light had been turned back on. So he was skeptical. He left there. He couldn't thank us enough. He was crying. And we've now since heard from him, and he's now working out. He goes to the gym.
Oh, you're still there? We're losing you.
But what happened was is she had he came in where he was so skeptical and he was in pain that, like Sherry said, that he was suicidal. But what happened is the minute he stood off that table, I saw that look in his eye, and I thought he was crying, so I went to hug him, and he said, Deborah, I'm not in any pain anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that day on, he's been able to do all the activities that he had wished that he could do, but see, he had a botched hernia, and that hernia, that nerve, they couldn't correct, so it was pushing pain back into his back that was so unbearable that he even had children, and he just couldn't see life like this anymore.
Well, I've got to tell you, I've always thought that you had to be a believer, and I guess you don't. This is mind-boggling for me.
Well, think of it this way. You know, God's always trying to open doors. And if this is one way to open the door, he's going to try.
Indeed.
And we all deserve to have, you know, we're all deserve to have a healing. We're all his children. So whether we're believers or not, he's still there for us.
Sherry, how did this start for you?
Oh, go ahead, Deb. How did it start for us doing our healing sessions?
Yeah, how did it all begin?
Mm-hmm. Well, in 1997, well, first of all, Deborah and I moved from Rhode Island, and I happened to move right next door to Deborah, and we soon became very good friends, and so we just became friends, and then we were in this horrific car accident in 1997 where divine intervention happened. We were on a freeway. It was pouring rain. Our car was stuck into oncoming traffic, and we couldn't get out the door. And some man out of nowhere came and opened the door, took us to the side, and said, kissed us on the forehead and said, I'll see you again. Kissed Deborah on the forehead, I'll see you again. And the next thing we knew, there was all these ambulances and fire trucks, and it was a very serious accident where we were fine. No one ever saw the man. He disappeared. And that's when both of us said, what just happened? We were okay, but it shifted us. That was our first shift. And so we just started questioning. We started, what's out there? Who was it that saved us? And so we just kind of started on this spiritual journey together, the two of us. And so we started reading. We started started this journey. And, you know, that's why we call ourselves Soul Sisters, because we've been on this journey for 20 years. And then Deborah, of course, was doing her mediumship work, studying at U of A. And then I started doing my healing work, got certified as a reconnection practitioner. And then Deborah would get emails with people that would want healings. And so we actually lived a mile away from each other, and she would come over to my house, I'd come to hers, and we'd say, you know, we'd do healings. And it was just kind of organic. We didn't set out to do healings together, but, you know, we started doing them kind of like that. And then on 1/21/12, Deborah had been she got very sick and was dying, and she'd lost all hope.
Oh, geez.
And that's kind of, you know, what happened then is we had a shared death experience, and then we came back with these, you know, these gifts and abilities that were very heightened that day.
What do you think, Deborah or Sherry, generates this ability, this power to do it? Sure, you're both, you know, conduits, and you have this ability, but is there something, this higher power, that's giving you this opportunity?
It is. On 1/21/12, when I crossed over, I was in the arms of God. I had a conversation with God. I transcribed everything that I remembered about my conversation, what I saw in heaven, what God looked like, and it's in our book, Direct Connect to God. But what happened that day changed me. I did not want to come back. I was in a place that was so beautiful. I felt love like I've never felt before. And
you were content, weren't you?
I was pain-free, yes.
Yeah.
And I wanted it to stop. And so why would I ever want to come back when I was in so much pain and I had lost the hope. I had a third grade little girl, and I didn't even think of her. I just knew I wanted to be where I was. So with that, I was told that I had a new mission and a new duty. And Sherry was doing a prayer and healing me. And at that same time that I was receiving this heightened ability, the frequency went through me, but it didn't only go through me, it went through her.
Stay with us. We're going to come back and talk more about this. Plus, we're going to come up with some real life episodes, some stories, in just a moment. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We're with Deborah Martin, her book, Soul to Soul, and also Sherry Geddon, as we talk about healing as well. There is a story in your book about how a loved one came from beyond the grave to solve her own murder. Tell us a little more about that.
Yes. Okay, so in this particular, it was a mediumship reading. And the networks brought this person to me because they wanted it to be a blind reading. And so when I connected with this woman, she wanted to connect with her aunt. I knew nothing else. And her aunt came through saying that she was murdered, and the family did not know that.
Oh,
they were
my.
told that she died of a heart attack and stomach cancer. But I was able to see it like a movie, just like I see the visions in my healings now, is that it played like right in front of my eyes. And I now had to tell this woman, oh my gosh, I saw her aunt murdered. I had the description of what the man looked like. I had his name. I had why he did it, how he did it. And I gave her all those facts. But before I gave her the facts, I told her a little bit of what she had done that day. And, like, you went and had your bangs cut yesterday, and you were really worried about being on TV today that they were crooked. And she started laughing, saying, yeah, who would know that? My aunt would have known that. So she knew that she was having a direct connection. But so when she took this information that was so serious to her, she went back to Peru and they exhumed the body that
had
been,
did. Okay.
Mm-hmm, that was buried for 3 months. What was a miracle here is all her organs were still fresh, and they were able to re-rule it that she'd never had stomach cancer, never had heart attack, and that she died of being suffocated. And so that led them to, okay, I had told them that it was for property, to sign over her property. Then they looked and they found that her signature was forged. And then they, by the description, they were able to find him, and he committed to the crime and is serving 20 years in the Peru prison.
Just 20 years?
Well, it would have been 30, but it went down to 20 because he admitted.
He admitted it.
Now there
should
were
have been life. Jeez.
Yeah, there were two of them. But the one that masterminded the whole crime is kind of protected, and no one wants to rat on him. So they're always like, Deborah, do you want to come to Peru? I'm like, no, I don't think so.
No. We won't let you go.
What's interesting with this is with it shows the voice. This is where science really, really, I mean, I've been on a lot of this. This has gotten national attention. I've been on tops of magazines and in TV shows that shows the science behind this, because there was no one working on this case. No one knew this information.
It was the case itself was dead, wasn't it?
Right. It's what made the case alive. It was what made the case investigation altogether. And so spirit has a voice, and the voice came through. And what's beautiful about this is because I've seen the vision for this one, now I'm able to see the visions in our healings, but I'm able to take these people to reconnect and embrace their loved ones on the other side. And you'd say, how? Well, remember, I saw the vision of this man. Now I'm seeing the vision of spirit come through, and I'm seeing them describing them, and then they're seeing him, and they're actually feeling him. We had this gentleman that was like, I felt him. I felt the skeleton, his feeling, I felt the love, I saw his face, I saw my son again. And it's life transformation, it's changing, it's miraculous, and it's beautiful. But that's what's, my Soul to Soul book is kind of like my mediumship that's evidential, and then now I take my mediumship that I call mediumship on steroids, where let's take this to another level, let's bring it forth, let's let these people have the experience that I do.
And there's another story about a raven. Now, this is amazing, right? It has to do with the son who went missing where, in Germany?
Yes, this that's when I really learned to trust my words, okay? Because I was given the words that a raven was going to solve the this case. The raven would be the answer to where her son was.
Raven. For folks who don't know what a raven is, it's a bird.
It's a black bird.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, the wife went to Germany, and this was international news. You can see it on CNN. And so she went and told her husband this, and he's like, you know what? Any grieving mother can think that their son's going to come through, or a big black bird's going to solve and find their son. You know, she had to do her grieving the way she had to do it, and I wasn't going to say it's wrong, but I thought it was pretty far.
I mean, did they suspect foul play already, or something had happened?
Yeah, because it was going on for a week now, and they were having a hard time finding him.
He was just gone,
so
right?
They were really, and they were, you know, we don't want to ever lose hope. But
I mean, if you're missing at sea, you hope, right? You hope
right. You just
weeks go by that, you know, this family member is going to be found, and well, once in a blue moon it happens, I guess.
So that's what happened here in this is I had to tell them something that was way, you know, like, okay, here's these people that are in desperate need, and you're telling them that a blackbird's going to find their son. Well, on the last day, there was no evidence of their son, and they were going to be flying back to the United States, and they decided to go down to the river. And it's a big river there, and so it's a main river. I can't remember it offhand, but anyway, they went down to the river, and it was her husband and her daughter. And when her and her husband got down to the river, they were across from each other, and this raven flew down. And she looked at the raven, the raven looked at her, and she looked at her husband, and he's like, mm-hmm. And she said, she had this feeling that this is my bird. So she went down, she had to walk like half a football field down, and she had to go down some steps, and she felt like she had to feel the water. She had to put her hand in the water. So she walked down, she went down the steps, and she put her hand in the water. At that same time, the raven flew down and stood on that very ledge. When she put her hand in, he put its beak in. And she looked at her husband, and they just knew. They knew that their son could be in that water, in that river.
Oh.
And he was
so
down in the water.
Would that have been the Rhine? That's the big one. That's
yes,
the,
you're right.
Yeah.
It is. And then when they were leaving, this is what she said was so unbelievable. When they were leaving, they felt now their family was not four anymore. It was going to be three. And they were walking up the hill, and there were buildings on both sides of the hill. And they looked up, and there were ravens all over on each side of the building. And she said, you know, I didn't see ravens very often in Germany. I was looking and searching for them. Are you my raven? Are you my raven? And now I look up and see thousands of them. And I was so grateful that my husband was there, because this was like out of a movie. You wouldn't think it was real. And they flew, all of them, hundreds, over them and landed by the river. 24 hours later, when they returned to the United States, they got the call that they found their son in that river.
Ugh. Who sent the raven? What spiritual thing sent the raven?
That's interesting you say that, because during the whole time I was wondering, who am I connecting with? Because I'm a medium, and I don't want to say I'm connecting to the son, because I want to believe that he's still alive. So I went to the grandpa that was on the other side, and he actually came to me before I even talked to the parents. So I used him as my vessel, as the person I was speaking with. I believe that he was the one that was telling me the words all along. And then I believe a higher power was involved as well. So I combined them both, because I would use my mediumship ability to connect to a loved one, but I also know that something stronger was coming through that day. What's interesting is the father came in 6 years later, and he didn't want a reading. He wanted a healing, and it took him 6 years.
6 years to build up his...
Well, he has the trust. He now has ravens everywhere, and he has, you know, a tattoo, and it's changed his world. It's changed, it's allowed him to know that his son is okay. But in the healing, he was able to go to that other dimension and have an embrace with his son. And his son took him, it was so beautiful. It took him to this beautiful meadow where there was this beautiful tree. And I could cry just telling you, because it was like everybody in that room, Sherry, you were crying too. It was
oh,
so
we were
beautiful.
All crying. It was, you felt the energy. You, when Deborah was describing, you know, she took him to this setting. So while he's healing his heart, he's being healed. He's being physically healed. He's also able to go on this spiritual journey where he's meeting his son. And so as Deborah's describing this setting where you feel like you are in heaven, Deborah's describing it, we're crying. I'm crying.
Oh,
sure.
Energy.
I'm actually giving him a tissue. And so he was able to embrace his son. And he said that that was a day that he will never forget. And
well,
so that's
yeah,
often
what was
how...
interesting is I remember God coming in the room and saying, I'm going to take you somewhere, Jeff, like you've never been before. I'm going to take you. And I heard Jeff say in his mind, what are we waiting for? And so I said that, Jeff, I heard you just tell God, what are you waiting for? When the session was over, he said, I said those words. And I felt my son. What was so amazing is he took him to this tree and he said to his son said, Dad, I'm going to take you to this tree and I'm going to mark, I'm going to put a line in the tree for every year that I'm not with you. But you have a tree in your backyard just like this one. And I want you to engrave a line for every year I'm not with you. But when you cross over, I will bring you back to this tree and you will see how real this really was.
And we were so, it was so touching. It was like a moment from a movie.
It was. And then he said, and there's a raven sitting at the end of the tree, at the bottom of the tree. Well, we hadn't been to their house. And they shared with us that the wife, the mother of the son, had just purchased a week ago a statue of a raven and put it by that tree that Jeff always prays to for his son. That, I mean, none of us know any of that.
No.
And it's so, it was transforming. You get to watch this transformation take place right in front of your eyes.
What would science say about all of this?
Well, that's interesting you say this because, you know, I believe in working with science. I think that, you know, science is our biggest tool for all the skeptics. I would say, you know, Dr. Eben Alexander and Karen Newell in our book, Direct Connect to God, they came in and they studied our brainwaves to see what happens with my brain when I am going on these.
Oh, have we lost Sherry?
Okay, what's happening when
let's,
I am
let's
going
see if,
on
these. Hold on for a sec. Sherry, are you there? No, that's Sherry. Go ahead, Deb.
Okay. So what's happening on these, you know, when I'm connecting to God, what's happening when I'm taking the spiritual journeys, am I coherent? Am I, you know, in a trance? And I'm not. I'm very coherent. But what happened was we could see the left and the right side of the brain working at the very same time, which is very rare. And my gamma range was as if I was under the most heavy anesthesia. So I was really getting into those deep states, but yet I was still very aware of everything that was going on in the room and where I was present. So I would say science, you know, I would love to see science do more for our healings, you know, maybe bring infrared cameras in to see if they can see the energy and the healing taking place on both of us. That maybe on the body of the person that we're healing, maybe coming out of the hands, maybe do blood work before and after on me to see, you know, I take on all this pain that I'm feeling of others. Can you see that through the T1, T3, you know, blood examples that show, wow, her body is going through these distresses, is having changes. So, you know, there's also with science, too. Science is there for research, and many times when you do research, you're going to debunk everything first. But I worked with Dr. Gary Schwartz and Dr. Julie Beischel for years, and they study the afterlife. And, you know, I just feel like it's our biggest tool, and we should invite it. You know, we're open to it.
Well, you know, it was here before the physical realm. I'm convinced of that. Aren't you?
Right. We were. Exactly. And so... I feel for myself that I don't need to prove it. I don't need to make people believe in it. I want people to feel it and experience it.
And Sherry, you're back with us now.
Yes, I'm back with you. I got cut off. I'm here.
See, there are the demons that still don't want us to talk
yes,
about.
Yes, we are trying to.
Well, you know what? Let me ask you this, Sherry, because we've been talking about all night about enlightening things and very... I think heartwarming things, but there is evil out there.
Yes.
And I think there's evil on the other side because that's just the complexity of this universe, that there's a giving and a taking, and there's good and there's bad. Have you ever been confronted in your sessions with evil, either one of you?
Yeah, you know, we have actually, and it's interesting because Deborah and I always, you know, you hear the stories, but it's like, you know, that's not our talk. We don't do that. That's not part of us. But we have had people that have come in that have had these negative attachments, negative energies attached to them, where we've have helped to release them. So we have had that in our sessions, and we were blown away because it's something that we're not prepared for. And so we have seen it. Deborah's actually physically seen what it looks like coming into the room, and then where God comes into the room and is able to release it. So, you know, there definitely is good and evil. And, you know, I think that when you bring light to anything, that you can release it. And, you know, that's what we did. This wasn't, you know, something that we planned to set out to do, but we always, you know, our prayer always is that God guides the people to us. And so, you know, healing takes on many forms. And some people do have negative attachments. You know, if you're drinking, doing drugs, you're doing any of these things, you sometimes get these negative attachments. So we have seen it in the healing sessions and have been able to release that in the healing sessions as well.
Would you say that the spirit realm is a very natural, normal occurrence?
For us, it is, you know, that I think it's a normal, natural, for us, we tap into that, you know, we have that direct connect. I think, you know, for some people it's not. And so what we like to say is we can help you to tap into that spiritual realm. So, you know, sometimes when, say, people have lost all hope, they have depression, they have sickness, they don't know how to connect to that. They're saying, you know, where is God? Why am I sick? Why is this happening to me? And so they have all these questions. They're mad. They're angry, which they have a right to be. So, you know, when Deborah and I do our healings, we say that we're connecting you to that source. We're kind of that light source that can plug you back in if your light's been turned off. So, you know, not everybody can tap into that because sometimes, you know, they're lost. They don't see any hope. They don't see any light. So we're able to go to those places and help them to, you know, plug into this light and connect to spirit, connect to God, connect to a higher source, whatever that is that they're connecting to.
Are there some lost spirits out there that just seem to be wandering around, not knowing that they're dead? They have no idea what's going on?
I would say that they're not lost souls not knowing where they're going on. I think that sometimes they are trying to find someone that will communicate with them. And once they find that communication, they're going to link to it. So many times people will say, there are ghosts in my house. They're bothering me. But if you were on the other side and you just wanted to have your voice heard and somebody hears it, wouldn't you keep bothering them? You know,
yeah.
Wouldn't you? It'd be like, hello, I got a direct line. And it's like, so are they ghosts? Now, we've had some of these spirits, like you said, that are bad, that will not leave them alone. And so I do write a chapter on that in Soul to Soul that talks about how to really be the bouncer at the door, how to be direct with them. And you can just you just have to tell them that you're the boss over them. They have to leave.
And they will listen.
They will listen. They have to listen.
All right. Stay with us. Deborah Martin, Sherry Gettin with us, the book Soul to Soul. We're going to take your phone calls and your stories next on Coast to Coast AM.